diving into something good. We've been going through this message series, Seek. Again, if God tells us to do something, means you're not going to do it on your own. None of us on our own are going to really intentionally dedicate the resources and the time and the effort that it really, really does take to seek after God. We just get too busy. We get so caught up, you know. We just don't do it. There's a reason that God has to ask us to be intentional about this and to be to really set time apart to seek after him. So far, we've been challenged to seek after him the way that he seeks after us. When you look at the life of Jesus, right? Fervently, but patiently. Urgently, like you lost your keys and you're late for work already, right? But yet, patiently. Passionately, but patiently. Like Jesus, our prayer being, not your will be done, not my will be done, but your will be done, Lord, right? If even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane struggled with his will getting in the way of God's will, come on, how much more are we going to struggle with that, right? Getting our will out of the way so that his will can be done. We learned last week about the example of the M&M sisters, right? Remember Martha and Mary? Remembering that we need to be more, we need to have a balance in our life of these M&M sisters, these sisters. You know, it's not that really one is a sin and wrong and one is right. It's that we need both. But we need to value more the Mary, right? We need to value relationship over works, being more than doing. Because God is far more concerned about who we are than what we do. Why? Because everything that we do comes from the source of who we are. If we want to be blessed by God, walking in obedience to him, it's got to start with relationship, doing what he's doing, even as Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And there's a lot of things he could have been doing that we would have called good, but they would have been sin because they weren't what God was calling him to do, the Father. So this week, we're going to learn the fact that God reveals secret things to us. God has some secrets that he wants to reveal to you and I, his children, right? Adopted in the family of God. You may have heard it said that the best place to hide something, and my Becky could amen it about me, the best place to hide something is right out there in the open, you know? You know, it's like, hey, didn't we buy eggs? Yeah, they're in the fridge. And I'm standing there with the fridge open. No, they're not. Where are, like, and they're right there on the shelf, right at eye level. Like, I'm looking everywhere else. They just, anyways, I'm not a good looker, you know? But it's so true. Sometimes the best place to hide something is right out there in the open. And I'm here to share with you this morning, that's the case with the secrets of the kingdom of God, too. They're right out there in the open. Like, how could we not see it? How could we not get it? As an example, we have recorded this encounter between Jesus and the crowds and his disciples. That's sort of the context and the backdrop. You've got the crowds of people, you've got Jesus, he's teaching, and then you've got his disciples, you know, those ones that followed him, his close best friends. And Jesus here is choosing to publicly declare to whoever would listen the secret things, the hidden things of God's kingdom. He taught them plainly to all people, to those who were seeking after God. Jesus said it this way, to those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, they got it. They understood it. They rejoiced in it. They were excited, man. They would just sit at the feet of Jesus. They loved his teachings. And they're like, wow, man, that is good, right? They're amen. And it just, it's, you know, they're loving it. And their lives were transformed as a result. Right? But to those who doubted Jesus, they came just to check out what all the hustle was about, you know, to see what in the world this fuss is. They just didn't get it. They were confused about him. They just didn't see what the big fuss was about, and they remained unchanged as a result. They listened to the exact same guy with the exact same teaching, and the results were as different as day is from night. The best place to hide things at times is right out there in the open. And Jesus used this tool called parables to do exactly that, right? Parables. And we're going to turn to one this morning in Matthew chapter 13. And I'm not going to read the parable. I'm going to start in verse 10. So Jesus, he's before the crowd, and he gives this parable of the sower. And then in verse 10, it says, the disciples came to him and they asked, why do you speak in parables? Why do you keep speaking to the people in parables? And Jesus replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away from them. And I don't know what kind of learner you are, but kind of picture yourself back in school, in the high school days, and your teacher's teaching, and you know what it's like. There's some people, they're sitting in that same classroom with that same teacher, listening to the same words, and they're getting it. And they're just on it. And it just comes natural to them. And there's some of them like, you want to speak English here? You know? I mean, come on. You know, just not getting it. And then there's some that are just staring out the window at the cool birds, you know. And, oh, man, he's got a worm. Look how huge that is, you know. That's kind of the picture that it was with Jesus, right? You know, some people were getting it. Some people weren't. Some people weren't even on the same planet, you know. That's what was happening. Now, this biblical principle here, whoever has will be given more. Whoever doesn't, you know, it'll be taken away. This biblical principle of stewardship, it is usually used about finances. But if you read what Jesus was actually talking about in the appropriate context, it applies to everything. If you're faithful with a little, you'll be given much. I mean, it applies to everything across the board. That's what principles are all about. But what Jesus was actually talking about here was knowledge of the secrets of kingdom. It was the revelation of God. Whoever has will be given more. And whoever doesn't have, even what they have will be taken away from them. Think about that. And the bigger context here is the parable of the sower. So what is Jesus saying in the parable of the sower? He talks about this seed that's getting scattered. And he's talking about how some of it just gets stolen away. You know, some of it, it sprouts up fast and then they forget about it. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God, that's what that entire parable was about, right? It was all about secrets revealed. It was all about the kingdom secrets that were being given. But to those, and I pray to God that we all are that this morning, who are good fertile ground, those seeds took root and they bore good fruit. Right? Good roots, good fruit. It's a farming principle, you know? It's no different than the kingdom of God. So don't let the worries of this world, don't let the enemy come and steal away the revelation of God that he is giving to you here this morning and every day of your life. Bury them deep into the rich soil of your spirit-transformed heart, right? It's the only way it can be good soil, is by letting God do that work so that it bears root and it provides good fruit. Jesus then went on in verse 13 to say this, right? Oh, yeah, he did say that. I'm a slide behind myself. Whoever has will be given more. They will have an abundance. Whoever doesn't have even what they have will be taken away from them. He then went on in verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear. And even he even goes on and explains this here. They don't understand, right? You hear. My wife does this with me all the time. Okay, what'd I just say? I can repeat it. I know what she said, but I still don't get it. I still don't understand it, you know? It's like, because you know me, I'm a guy, I have a one-track mind, you know? I'm like, we're talking about this. No. We're talking about this. It's like, well, when did that change? I didn't know the subject changed in this conversation here, you know? Women, you are blessed by God, like him, to be able to be on 10 subjects at the same time. And our brains, it's just like, poof. You just can't do that, you know? We're talking about this, and this makes no sense about this. And anyways, you know, they don't understand. They don't get it. They hear, but they don't understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You guys are going to be reading about this in Bible study, right? Not for several weeks, but you will be. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. Oh, how do we miss this in the parable of the sower? This is exactly what God is talking about. It's exactly what Jesus is talking about, and we miss it so much. This people's heart, they are the field. They've become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. You remember the whole argument, right? They're like, you know, the Pharisees and Jesus, he's like, you know what, I've come for the sick. Now, they were sick, but they didn't know they were sick, right? You guys know stubborn people like that? I don't need no stinking doctor. There's nothing wrong with me, right? And then next thing you know, they're laid up in the hospital, you know. Yeah, that's the Pharisees. That's the Pharisee perspective. They were seeing, but they weren't really seeing. They were hearing, they weren't really hearing. Their hearts were hardened, and we don't want to be a people like that. And I'm confessing, Julie, man, I can be a person like that. So hard-headed, so hard-hearted sometimes. I just really don't get what God is doing. And Jesus said in verse 16, blessed or blessed are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. For I truly tell you, many prophets, many righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it. So, man, just, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing. Right here, right now in our lives. Soften our hearts. Give us a hunger. Give us a thirst for your revelation. Lord, we have tasted and seen that you are good. Give us more. Increase your revelation into our lives. Show us what you're doing, Lord. Speak and we will listen. Lord, help us. Help us to be that good soil. Help us, Jesus. You know, on the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas, he said this. This is in John 18, verses 19 to 23. This is what happened. In verse 19, the high priest questioned Jesus at this mock trial. We know it was all set up, happening at an illegal time of the night. But all that aside, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And he said in verse 20, I've spoken openly to the whole world. I have always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Did he speak secrets? Yeah, but he didn't save them in secret, right? He said secrets publicly, the paradox of the kingdom of God. He said, I said nothing in secret. Why are you questioning me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said. And when Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. You know, and I see that internet meme, you know. Is it Batman or Robin, I think, you know, or no. Anyways, slapping him in the face. Oh, makes me cringe every time. Like, can you imagine getting so infuriated with Jesus? And what did he say wrong? Everything I said publicly. I didn't hide anything. I was here in the temple. I was out there, you know, and he gets so frustrated with him. He goes up and just slaps him in the face. He says, is this the way you answer the high priest? Jesus said, if I had said something wrong, testify as to what I said wrong. But if I spoke truth, why'd you just slap me? Like, come on. Everything he said publicly. He didn't do anything in secret. He wasn't trying to, you know, raise up some rebellion against their authority or anything. Everything he did was public. Jesus sharing kingdom secrets, but not doing it secretly. Publicly proclaiming hidden things, but not doing it in hiding. Like the, wow, talk about mind blown. Think about that. And Jesus is still doing it today. He's still doing it right here and right now. He is publicly proclaiming hidden secret things. But do we have eyes to see? Do we have ears to hear? I mean, think about the irony. Imagine this scene happening before you where Jesus is being questioned. The Word of God in the flesh is standing right in front of you. And they can ask him absolutely anything, right? That same Word that those people dedicated their lives to read, to study, to seek out day and night. They did this. They were seeking out the scriptures and trying to understand them, and they're bouncing ideas off of each other, and they're trying to have iron sharpen iron. They know the Word of God through and through, and they could win any debate regarding it. But when it's standing in front of their face, they don't recognize it. They don't have eyes to see. They don't have ears to hear, right? Just like Isaiah prophesied. Think about that. They didn't recognize him. They were patiently seeking out the promised Messiah. They wanted to know the exact time, right? You got people who are obsessed with the end times and when it's going to happen, right? In today's world, you had the same thing in their culture. They were waiting for the coming Messiah, They were waiting for Jesus. And when he stood in front of them, they called him a blasphemer. They called him a demon. They called him a drunk. They called him a glutton. They called him everything under the book. They slapped him across the face, right? When he was physically, literally standing in front of them, they didn't recognize it. You know, if they struggled with it, I'm telling you, they probably knew the Old Testament way better than I do. I'd be willing to bet a whole lot of money on that they could beat me out, you know, on that. If they could miss it, how much easier can we miss it? How much easier could it be for us to have Jesus moving right in front of us, working a miracle right before our eyes, and we miss it? And we're like, God, where are you? He's like, hello? Like, did you not just see what happened here? Did you not just see what I did? I just made a way where there was no way. And you're like, God, when are you going to answer my prayers? You know, we can miss it so easily. God is speaking, but are we listening? Are we really seeking him out? Are we really seeking after him? Truth is all around us, but let's be honest, would we rather just be deceived? Would we rather just have our will done than his? Because his can be tough sometimes, right? We want to be led by those, you know, plush greens and the streams that are still and quiet, but we don't want to go through, you know, all the mountainous terrain that it takes to get there. Revelation, all about God's kingdom of light, is everywhere around us, but are sometimes we just more comfortable in the darkness, right? Are we just more comfortable with who we are, not wanting to change? He longs to be found, but are we willing to seek? Are we willing to seek after him? How do we seek after him? Well, he reveals himself in different ways. Starting this morning, you maybe heard this before, his general revelation. This is what Jesus would often use in parables. He would talk about the world happening all around you. Every single day, these things are happening. This is God's general revelation. He would give an example of those things in order to reveal a deeper spiritual truth that was hidden in them. God's revelation is all around us, the hidden things, the secret things in his general revelation, but do we see them? He talked about plowing and planting fields. He talked about the color of the sunrise and the sunset. He talked about the flowers of the field. He talked about birds just living out their everyday lives. Or get this, he talked about two sons trying to get them to do their chores, right? Something you struggle with every day, right? Anybody ever struggle with their kids doing chores? Huh? Yeah, amen, right? I love the multi-generational effect back there, you know? Pat saying, Jen saying, Anna, right? Exactly. Jesus is like, you know what? That frustrating, when you're in the heat of the moment and it's on, you're not thinking, God, what secret of the kingdom are you showing me in this? But he is. He's speaking something through that. And read that parable, by the way. Common everyday things happening all around us, and God's kingdom secrets are just screaming through them if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. God's word speaks often and very clearly about how significant general revelation is. When I learned about this in all my theology classes, I'm like, okay, let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to the meat and potatoes here, you know? But God's word and Jesus, clearly, he spoke about these things often. You can't minimize God's general revelation. It's huge. It is so significant. Think about, who was it, Jeremiah? And God's like, Jeremiah, what do you see? I see an almond branch. Yeah, you nailed it. You got it. And it's like, okay. But there was something hugely significant behind what that was symbolizing and representing. If something catches your attention on your commute to the store or to work or to school every day, don't minimize that. Stop and actually ask, God, what are you showing me through that? That tree it just catches my attention every time I drive by. God, what are you saying about that? You'll be surprised once he actually shows you, like, finally! You decide to ask me, you know, finally, after all this time, I keep showing you this thing, keeps catching your attention, and you just ignore it and go on about your day. Finally, you're asking me, oh, I've been waiting for so long to share this secret with you. This is what that's about, right? It's awesome. It's addictive. Think about how significant God's general revelation is. Look in the mirror. Just go look in the mirror. And you're looking at the very image of the one true living God. Think about how significant that is. That's huge. That's huge. And we miss it. We look in the mirror and I'm like, another pimple again, you know, or I'm getting a little grayer. Ugh, that's ugly. I don't want to see that again, you know? But what we should see is what God is revealing. Okay, here's just a few examples. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. We all use this scripture about the bad stuff, right? Romans chapter 1, it's all about the homosexuality thing, you know? And you can read about all of that. But we're going to start with the good word and what God is showing here. In verse 16, Paul writes, and he says, I am unashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who will believe, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, first to the last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So we have the power of God, the righteousness of God being revealed through his salvation. That's huge. But he said this, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and the wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. And I'll say, and to us as well, even those who have received his salvation. In verse 19, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. In verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, they have been clearly seen, being understood by what has been made, so that people are without excuse. When the Creator created creation, everything you see in the natural world has his fingerprints on it. You can see the attributes of God through everything he created. Psalm chapter 19 says it this way. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Get you out in the country and look up on a clear night. I mean, come on. If you can't see the glory of God, how great, how vast he is. It's amazing. It says here in verse 2, day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is ever heard from them. And yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. General revelation. When you look at the natural created world around us, you see God. You see him through his creation. Natural revelation. You can see so much about his attributes. In fact, God's word says that every single person who has ever existed is without excuse for not knowing God because of what has been created, right? Creation shouts the glory of the Creator, and it draws us to desire to get to know and to worship him. But praise be to God, we don't just have general revelation. We don't meet here in church and talk about those dandelions that you just can't seem to get rid of, right? We have God's special revelation. We don't have to rely on general revelation alone. God has personally spoke to mankind, personally spoke to us. He has given us special revelation, and thankfully, the people who have received it decided to write it down. We've got the Bible, right? It's God's word to have, to understand him, to understand how he has worked in the past, how he has moved, what he says about himself, right? We have all these things. God's living word that still speaks to us today. God's written, tested, tried, true word. It is an absolute authority. What it says is true. And it doesn't contradict itself. It backs up itself. It explains itself. It interprets itself. I mean, it's been tried and true. And man, so many people have tried to destroy it over the centuries, and it just you still have it, right? It gives detail and focus to general revelation. God never contradicts himself. He never lies. And that's why it's important to read, to study, and to understand God's word. It's a tool through which we can seek after him. It's a tool through which he speaks to us. We can read the same verse every single day, and every single day God could speak something differently to you through it. Why? Because it's alive and active. Alive and active. God can bring you a fresh revelation every day through those same words, because it's not really about those words that were written thousands of years ago. It's about the author of those words still speaking today. There's another revelation that we can receive as well. That's why I'm skipping over this. We all know about the Bible, and this is one I made up. You won't find this in any theological seminary. I'm calling it personal revelation. right? We're making it up because it's just so clear in the Word of God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. His Word never changes. Anybody who adds to it or takes away from it, you don't want to be doing that, okay? Let's just say that. I love the Word of God. That's why I teach and preach from it. I'm not saying anything to take away from the Word. But just because we have the final authority of God's written Word, that doesn't mean that God shut his mouth and stopped speaking, right? He's still speaking to us today. In fact, he so values personally revealing his secrets to us that he has filled us with his Holy Spirit. His very presence is within us, still speaking to us, still guiding us, still directing us. He has given us that. Let's admit what the Word of God says he is. He's the author of the Bible. You can read someone's books, and you can get to know so much about them, But it's way different to sit down with someone like Tolkien and to have them actually explain to you the story behind the characters. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so much different knowing the author of the books. It adds so much to the understanding of the books and why they are written and how they are written and how those characters actually display attributes of that author. It's awesome. And you have that. The author of the Bible is dwelling within you. Not only is he going to help you to understand what he wrote, he's still going to speak to you today, right? It's so easy, however, to ignore his voice and to miss out on the secret things that God is revealing to us. Take this for example. Moses said this in Deuteronomy chapter 29. He summoned all the Israelites and he said to them, "Your eyes have seen," right? "All that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to his officials, and to the entire land. With your own eyes, you saw those great trials, those signs, those wonders. But," buts are big in the Bible, right? "But to this very day, the Lord hasn't given you a mind that understands. He hasn't given you eyes that see or ears that hear." You'll find this phrase all through Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms. It's everywhere. This is a frustration for God. You've seen it, but you didn't really see it. You heard it, but you didn't really understand it, right? And it's the same thing for them. Can you imagine seeing those plagues? Can you imagine walking through the parted sea? Can you imagine? He goes on here. He said, "During those 40 years that I led you through the wilderness," this is the Lord speaking, "your clothes didn't wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread, you drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God." But how many people do you think out of those hundreds of thousands thought about that? "Huh, we've been walking for a long time, but I still got tread. I haven't drank any alcohol, yet my tummy's not hurting. I'm not getting sick from this water that I keep drinking, and I'm drinking water from everywhere. I'm drinking out of stagnant water that's been laying here, They were. They didn't get sick. My clothes, no holes. I haven't had to stitch, my kids' clothes in forever." How many of them actually realized the miracles that were happening right there on their own bodies? If I don't notice what's happening right here on my own body, how stupid do I have to be? How thick-headed do I have to be to miss those miracles? But I'm telling you right now, Moses just said they missed it. They totally missed the miraculous hand of God working right there in a very personal way in their lives. How could they miss it? But they did. If they could miss it after seeing those miracles, after walking through the Red Sea, hello, I'm going to miss it, right? I'm going to miss it if I'm not looking for it, if I'm not seeking after him. So after Moses said this, he talks about the covenant between God and the Israelites, and he calls out all the dreadful consequences of anyone going their own way instead of going God's way. He makes a covenant. And then he says this in the end of Deuteronomy 29. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever and ever and ever." Think about that. Secret things that God has. But once he reveals them, they're not a secret to you anymore, are they? They're revealed. And it is so cool to think about the fact that the entirety of God's word was once a secret thing, but now it's been revealed. And here I am. It was 3,500 years since that day happened to today. 3,500 years ago, God said that to the Israelites, and I'm here reading it today. It's a revealed thing to me. I was engrafted into the family, a child of God, right? How cool is that to think about? That was a secret thing, and now it's been revealed, and it's been recorded, and handed down. God has secrets for us. Some of them are just for us. Is everybody okay still with me this morning? I'm going to keep going. He has some secret things just for us. Just between you and him. I can't wait for this one. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to churches. How many times does Jesus have to say this? Whoever has ears, let them hear. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. How cool is that? I get a new name in heaven. And there's only two people who know what that name is. Jesus, who gives it to me, and me. You know, just imagine I'm up there next to Terry. I'm like, you know, I know my name. You don't, you know. It's a secret thing. It's exciting, you know. You've got hidden things with people. You know, Becky and I, we have little inside jokes because we're a spouse, and we'd embarrass everybody if you knew what those inside jokes were about and where they started, right? You know, you got secret hidden things. Why? Because of relationship, because of intimacy. Jesus wants to share some secrets with you because he loves you. He cares about you. He wants to have some inside jokes with you. You know, he wants you to, when you see a dandelion, you chuckle because you think about that time that he showed you something, you know? I mean, he wants to have those things. It's fun. It's exciting. It's called a relationship, right? But think about the significance of being given a new name, right? Any time that God changed someone's name, it was not just a name change. It held significance. It was important. It meant something changed in your life, not just in your name. When Saul became Paul, hello, look at that life transformation, you know? Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter. I mean, every single name change was way more significant than just a name change. God has hidden things, secret things, and he's not withholding them from you. He's withholding them for you. He wants you to seek them out. He wants to reveal to you those things, but he's not going to just do it. We need to actually seek after them, right? Sometimes he hides things for a specific time. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay, right? And I'm sorry, I'm a 90s kid. Every time I hear that, I'm like, do you have to? Anybody hear me? Do you have to let it linger, you know? Like, God, why? Why? Just tell me now. I want to know. But God's like, no. There's an appointed time, and you've got to wait for it. Oh, it's going to be so good, but you've got to wait for it, right? Because if we knew things too early, let's be honest, some of us would probably run away from the plans that God has. Just too big, too lofty, too scary. I don't want to go through that. Sometimes he hides things for our own good. Like he hides things from us for our own good. Jeremiah, he was appointed as a prophet to the nations before he was ever born. But God didn't tell him until just the right time when they were off in exile. And he was a young buck too. He was a teenager whenever God came to him. He's like, you're a prophet to the nations. He's like, I think you got a different Jeremiah. Maybe you got the one, you need the one down on Water Street, you know? And God's like, no. Before you were born, this is my plan for you. It was huge. God revealed it at just the right time. Now think about this. Joseph, he found out about how he was going to be leading over his whole family a long time before it happened, didn't it? Caused a lot of animosity, caused a lot of jealousy, caused a lot of problems for him, right? But God revealed it to him early. Why? Because God needed his brothers to hate him. God needed them to like springboard Joseph out where he needed to be into Egypt, right? He would have never gotten there had it not been for all those things. So God has a reason and a purpose for his timing. Sometimes God hides things just for the right appointed time. Okay, so don't give up seeking after him. He's going to reveal it when he needs to. Sometimes he hides things until we're mature enough to receive them, right? Let's be honest. Sometimes we're just not grown up enough. He wants us to be, but sometimes we're just not there yet. Think about this. Take a first grader, and you try to teach them advanced trigonometric functions. Are they going to be able to take it and apply it and run with it? No, it's going to go right over their heads. So why even teach it to them now, right? They have to learn. They have to build principle upon principle, precept upon precept. They have to get a pretty firm foundation before you get to the advanced functions, right? You just have to do it. That's why we have grade levels. It's no different in our faith. In our faith, we have to understand the elementary teachings before we can understand and apply advanced revelation. And that's on us. Are we going to grow up or are we going to be babies forever? This is how Paul said it in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. He said, we've got so much to say to you about this. They had so much revelation, the apostles, and they just wanted to dump it out to the church. They wanted to teach it. They wanted to preach it. They wanted to share it. And this is what Paul said to the church, to the Hebrew church. He said, it's hard. We can't make it clear to you because you don't even want to understand. You don't even want to understand. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You still need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You ought to be in high school, but I still got to teach third grade stuff to you here. I mean, come on, right? Paul was frustrated with them. He said, you need milk, not solid food. And anyone who lives on milk, you're still an infant. You're not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food, it's for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Maturity, it's on us. I choose whether to be a babe in Christ or whether to be, you know, a teenager in Christ, which I think that's kind of where I'm at some days, you know, or whether I choose to be a grown-up in Christ, okay? Man up, woman up, and let's grow up a little, right? God wants to grow us and mature us. It's a matter of how much are we submitting to him? How much are we saying, your way, Lord, not mine? How much are we allowing the Spirit to do his work in our lives? That's how we grow and mature. We get trained. The reality is there's a whole host of reasons why God has secrets from you, why he has hidden things from you. But the important thing this morning is to realize that they are there. You don't understand what's happening in your life right now, but God does. And he may want to give you a little peek at why. But are we going to seek after it? Are we going to hunger and thirst for it? Are we going to grow up? You know, are we going to be patient and wait till just the right time? It's on us. But the reality is, living in both God's kingdom and here on the earth, there's always more. God's kingdom always has an abundance. This kingdom in this world always has lack, always has need. There's always an abundance in God's kingdom. There's always something new to learn more about. There's always something new to grow and to mature in. There's always secrets and hidden things to be revealed. Right now, Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians, I think it was chapter 14. Right now, I see in part and I know in part, but then, and only whenever you get your glorified body, you'll know everything. It'll all be revealed. There are no secrets except for that name on the stone, right? But right now, there's always more to learn. If you feel like you've grown stagnant in your faith, you got to get yourself right. You're missing out. If you think you arrive somewhere, you're not even close. You're in first grade. Let's get on with it here, right? Well, there's always more to learn. There's always more to grow in. There's always more to seek out. There's always new ways to serve. There's always something new and something exciting in the kingdom of God. And this is the end with it. You know, have fun with this. God has secrets and he has hidden things that he wants to reveal to you. Have some fun seeking after them. This doesn't have to be a serious, you know, I don't know, boring thing. This isn't a classroom. This isn't learning geometry so I can learn trig and trig so I can learn calculus. This isn't boring. This is real practical meat and potatoes kind of stuff, and you can have fun with it. You know, think about I did this with Becky recently just for fun to see, you know, and I'm like, I just asked God a simple question. Okay, what would really bless Becky, you know? And I get this picture, you know, of What was it? It was something simple. I think it was tacos. It was some kind of food. And how often is it just, that's me, you know? But man, when she got home from work, because she doesn't get home till 9:30 when she, you know, works. She works 12-hour days. You know, from 8:30 to 9:30, that's a long day. And she gets home, she's like, did I tell you about this? You know, whenever I called you, I'm like, no. She's like, oh, I've been craving this all day long. Like, you know, something so simple. But I'll tell you, have fun with it. Ask God. And guess what? If I missed it, there's no harm done, you know? It's not that big of a deal. Ask God simple things like this. Before you go into a store, Lord, what do you want to do here? Why am I here right here right now? You know? And he may show you something. And don't just, here's been my biggest hurdle whenever I'm learning to hear the voice of God, and it might be yours, it might not be. Don't chalk things off as your imagination. Don't think, oh, I'm just thinking that, or that's just my imagination going wild. Or, you know, don't write it off as something. Trust that you're his sheep, you hear his voice. Trust you're hearing the voice of God and act on it. And watch God meet you there. And start with simple, silly things like that, you know? Just ask God a simple question and go with what you hear and see what happens. And what did Jesus say in the parable of the sower? He who is faithful with little will be given more. Those who have little will have an abundance. But if we're not faithful with even those little things, even what we have will be taken away from you. There's probably some of us here this morning that have kind of grown numb to the voice of God. You've just kind of blown it off and ignored it for so long that you don't even recognize it anymore. And I believe that this morning, God wants to stir back up that hunger and that thirst to really see what God is doing in and around your life. And start with little things. And the more that you trust him and the more that he trusts you with little things, the more that you're obedient in the little things, he will trust you with even greater things, greater revelation. Paul talked about a person that was taken into the third heaven and shown all these things, you know. God wants it. Look at John. We have the whole book of Revelation because John was put in prison in this, in the island of, what is it, Patmos? Yeah, sorry. See, I'm still learning myself. I'm bad with names, places, and things. I'm an event reminder, but think about that. Like, Jesus personally met with John and showed him all these things. He got to see into the heavenly, he got to see into heaven. He got to see into the throne room of heaven, as Ezekiel did. And as one of the other Old Testament prophets did as well. You know, they got to see that. Think about, was it John and Peter who were with Jesus at the Transfiguration? And they were able to hang out with, I think it was Elijah and Moses, right? You know, there's huge things that God is willing to reveal to you if you're just faithful with the little things. I want to see in the throne room of heaven. That'd be awesome. I mean, people like fell apart. Isaiah, that was the other one. He fell on his face and he was like, woe is me. Yeah, that was the other Old Testament prophet. You're going to read about that soon in Bible study. God wants to show you huge things. Be faithful with the little and see what he does. Have fun with it. It's a relationship. He's got all these cool secrets, all these cool hidden things he wants to show you. But you got to be willing to seek after it. Ask him. Talk with him about it. And have fun with it. So we're going to close in prayer and then in a song of worship. And I just believe, I firmly believe, that the more that we intentionally seek after him, he's going to start revealing some things to us. And he doesn't just show us something for the sake of showing us something. It's going to be huge. There's going to be some life transformation that happens as a result. I believe there's going to be community transformation. He wants to reach the lost people right here in our backyard. And we're not doing a very good job at it. And I think he's going to show us some of those hidden things, those keys to unlocking. Like the woman at the well. You would never think, God, would you really want me to do that? Jesus went and hung out with that woman who'd been with all these guys, and she's not even married with the guy she's with now. And, like, you know, he's not allowed to talk to Samaritans. He is a rabbi, and he's talking to a Samaritan and a Samaritan woman at that. God, that can't be you. Yes, it was. And because he did what the Father wanted him to do, just all that he asked him to do is to go hang out at that well at that time, and that woman came. And because of that Kairos moment, that specific time, that specific place, that woman went back And a whole town was transformed by the salvation of Jesus as a result. And all she did is like, he knew all the dirt in my life. He knew everything about me. That's all that she shared. And man, people's hearts were changed because of it. They embraced his salvation. Think about that. It could be that simple, that easy. Revival could spread like wildfire just because of one secret revealed. Powerful. All right, so Jesus, first of all, forgive us for seeing but not really seeing, hearing but not really hearing or understanding. Forgive us for our hardened hearts, Lord. And Jesus, we're asking you this morning to come and to transform us. Give us softened hearts. Make us that good soil, Lord. Give us a hunger and a thirst for your secret things, for those hidden things. Give us a hunger and thirst for your written word, Lord, for what you're showing through the things you created. And Holy Spirit, help us to hear what you're speaking to us here and now. We don't want to miss out on anything you have for us. Anything you're revealing, Lord, we want to hear it. We want to see it. We want to get on board with what you're doing here on the earth today. Above all, Lord, we just want to get to know you more. In your name, amen.